I hope to fall of a lifetime. A promise made by this heart of mine. Hold the line. No, one day I will come. I will come for you.
You don't know what it's like for all your hopes to rise, to see them fall again with the setting sun. My heart, you're the one. I know one day you will come. You will come for me. I will come for you. When we're old forever, together in love, to stand in the calm, following love's frown. It's just you and I.
You are listening to Te Ama Pacific Health Radio. Te Ama Radio is proudly brought to you in partnership with Auckland District Health Board and Waitemata District Health Board, working together, collaborating together to educate and raise awareness for our Pacific population to be fit, well and healthy. Well, it's Tokelau Language Week this week. And the theme for this week is Tiutiunga Atautai Awatelumanaki Hoanau, which means, when translated, mastery of traditional knowledge, skills, expertise and leadership help shape the future. Talohani, hokumelemele puka mai te ama, e hokataloha tuai ki te mamalu o te atupahe huika i Aotearoa, New Zealand. Ka he veona maheni ai, e mua mua pea lava kawe te vikinga ma te hokohetai ki te tamana i te langi. Ona kua ki tātou toi aulia mai tēnei ahe hou, ka he maihi ai hoki ko te vai ahe o te ngana tokelau. Hokohetai e hiu, vikia te atua. Well, today I'm privileged to have Dr. Will right here in the studio with me. This will be the second time Dr. Will has been on our radio show, and I'm very grateful to Dr. Will. The first time we had Dr. Will, we got to know about who he is, his roots. He's a proud Samoan man, his family, his upbringing, and journey right up to now, the present. We had a good overview of what Dr. Will's profession as an eye surgeon. Just let me read this. Dr. Will is an acknowledged expert in cataract and
vitreoretinal, yep.
Surgery, who splits his time between the Eye Institute and working publicly at the Green Lane Clinical Centre. He attended medical school at the University of Auckland, where he received the top prize for ophthalmology and the top prize for surgery. Since becoming a fellow of the Royal Australian and New Zealand College of Ophthalmologists, Will has gone on to complete two further fellowships in... Sorry, what's the word again, Will?
Vitreoretinal?
Yes, surgery, and is looking to expand his field of expertise further by becoming New Zealand's second formally trained ocular oncologist. As I mentioned earlier on today, we will be focusing on diabetic eye diseases. Within the New Zealand population, the prevalence of diabetes in Māori and Pacific populations is around three times higher than among other New Zealanders. Although type 2 diabetes is increasingly being diagnosed in children and is related to obesity, type 1 is also increasing. What can we do? Welcome back, Dr. Will. How are you?
My little Mel, thanks for having me back. Yeah, I'm well. Great weekend here in Auckland.
Yes. How was the long weekend, Dr. Will?
Yeah, it was good. We had some family up to stay and got all the kids together, and that was good.
Beauty, spend time with the family.
Yeah. Actually, I noticed in your intro there you said proud Samoan man. I just had my genetics tested, and I'm also 10% Tongan, so...
That's amazing. Wow.
Which was a surprise, but... no, it's good.
How did you go about that, testing your genetics?
There's a few companies... if you look online, I used AncestryDNA.com, and it's very simple. You just send a saliva swab off, and they come back to you with your ancestry.
And it's quite, what's the word? Is it like 100% accurate?
I think for the Pacific, probably not, because they don't yet have the DNA pool yet, but... at least in the past, they couldn't separate the different populations, but now they can. They can at least separate the countries within the Pacific. Yeah. Off topic.
Dr. Will, for our listeners out there, can you please share with us what your actual role is? What you do?
Yep. So. There are optometrists and ophthalmologists. Optometrists are generally people who you go to see for your glasses, and they can do a general eye health check as well. Optometrists go through a specific course at university. They do a Bachelor of Optometry, which is separate to what I do. I'm an ophthalmologist, which is essentially an eye surgeon. So ophthalmologists go through medical training for 5-6 years. You're then a normal doctor in the hospital, and then you can go on to your ophthalmology training, which takes another 5 to 7 years, depending on your specialty. And yeah, really, what I do is I suppose the medical side of eyes. So rather than prescribe glasses, anyone with a medical issue involving the eyes that either needs medical treatment or surgical treatment, that's what ophthalmologists do.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Wild. And I'd like to for you to share with us the process, you know, of more specifically with our diabetic patients, you know, in terms of getting their eyes checked, tested. Yep. But before we get there, can you share with us what causes diabetic eye diseases?
Well, to begin with, you need to have diabetes. And, yeah, as you're probably aware, there are a few different types of diabetes. So there's type 1 diabetes, and that's generally a condition that you're born with where your pancreas doesn't make enough insulin. Type 2, which is the most common type of diabetes, and that's the type that most commonly affects Māori and Pacifica, that's when your body becomes resistant to insulin and you can't process the sugar in your bloodstream. There's also a third type, gestational diabetes, where you can develop diabetes in pregnancy.
Yes.
Diabetes is where, well, I suppose we're going to focus on type 2, so that's insulin resistance. So what happens there is your body's unable to process the sugar in your bloodstream, and that sugar over time can damage the inner lining of your blood vessels. And it tends to want to attack the smaller to medium-sized blood vessels in your body.
Yes.
And those are the blood vessels that are responsible for supplying your kidneys. So you can develop kidney damage. Those blood vessels supply your nerves, so you can develop problems with your peripheral nerves. And at the back of the eye, within the retina, you have small blood vessels, and that's another area that the diabetes likes to damage. So how do you develop diabetic eye disease? So firstly, you need diabetes, and then secondly, you're more likely to develop complications the longer you've had diabetes and the worse your control. So, yeah, if you're not controlling your blood sugars for a longer period of time, then you're more likely to damage your eyes.
So the key here is early detection will help prevent further damage.
Yep, so the sooner you get on to treating your diabetes, the less complications you are likely to have. So, yep, that's right. So early screening just for diabetes in general, and then if you have diabetes, making sure you're enrolled early in an eye screening program.
Absolutely. Okay, so, you know, I've done a fair bit of reading online with eye diseases caused by diabetes.
Yep.
And diabetic retinopathy is the most common cause of vision loss among people with diabetes. Can you elaborate a bit more on that?
Yep, so that's a big part of my work. So I'm a retinal specialist, and with that I see a lot of diabetic retinopathy. So basics first, I suppose. The retina is the camera film at the back of the eye. So the eye is shaped like a small camera. At the front you have a lens, which if that becomes frosted over time, that's what a cataract is, a frosted lens. So light comes through the front, through the lens, and all the light gets focused onto the retina, which which is the camera film lining the inner wall at the back of the eye. Diabetic retinopathy is when the diabetes damages the blood vessels within that camera film. And there are varying degrees of diabetes, so you can have very mild changes all the way through to very severe. At the severe end of the spectrum, the blood vessels, they don't work properly. They can bleed. You can grow abnormal new blood vessels, which grow into places they're not meant to. You can also develop retinal detachment, which is a very serious complication. And, essentially, if it's left untreated, it will result in blindness.
So, in terms of detecting the symptoms early, are there any symptoms that we can look out for?
Sometimes, but it can sneak up on you. So you could potentially have very bad diabetes and not know about it. So that's why enrollment in an eye screening program as soon as you're diagnosed is essential.
And how often do we need to get our eyes screened, Dr. Will?
Well, to be enrolled in an eye screening program, probably the simplest way to do that is through your GP. And so they'll arrange for you to have a photograph somewhere locally. Those photographs are then graded, and from there that will determine how often you need to have photographs. So simply, if there's no diabetic change on your first photograph, then they'd bring you back 2 years later for another photo. If there is some change, some diabetic change, then you may be brought back sooner, so either a year or 6 months later for another photograph. If the changes are severe enough, that's when you're referred to see an ophthalmologist.
Okay. Well, so where does the optometrist come in?
Optometrists are very good at detecting diabetes as well. So often some of the photo screening services are run through optometry practices, or it's more of an opportunistic screening type scenario. So somebody goes to their optometrist for glasses, they look in their fundus and find some diabetic retinopathy, and that's another way to screen for the disease, I suppose. Yeah,
and detect the early symptoms.
Yeah, so in terms of symptoms, as I said, someone might have bad diabetes but not necessarily have any visual symptoms. That's not always true, though. Sometimes the diabetes can affect the central vision early on, and then you might notice some change in vision, so either loss of vision or distorted vision. But really the key is screening.
Absolutely. So we need, as specific people out there that have type 2 diabetes or even type 1 or gestational diabetes, it's important that we make it a regular checkup, because as far as I'm aware, I don't know if it's a regular thing, generally speaking. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think if you know you have diabetes, it's very important that you make sure that you are enrolled in a diabetic photo screening program. But there's also evidence to show that complications are worse in people who don't have regular contact with their primary carer. So it's also important that you're seeing your GP or your diabetes specialist on a regular basis.
Thank you, Dr. Will. Is there anything else you'd like to add on to that?
I think one other thing that I see in the hospital is people might be enrolled in a program or, be booked to come and see me for their appointment, and a fair number of people don't show up. And that's something I'm quite interested in, actually. So I'd like to know why so many don't attend their diabetic eye appointments, whether that's it's an ownership thing, whether people just don't care, or whether there's some other logistics around it. So, you know, are they having to travel too far for their appointments? Are people unable to afford the car parking at the hospital? There are lots of things that may come into play there. But I'd certainly encourage anyone who has an appointment booked to try and attend if they can.
You know, I actually had this discussion. It was actually a few years ago with the general manager for Pacific Peoples at Auckland Hospital, Pulotua Bruce Levy, and he mentioned that the DNA did not attend rates amongst our Pacific people is just shocking, man. And it's costing a lot of valuable time, like yourself, and a lot of money.
Yep.
So, like you said, it needs to be looked at. Dr. Will? Why do you think us Pacific people, I know this is a big question and I've asked it many a time, are we at the low way, have astronomical diabetes rates?
Yeah, well, there's got to be a genetic component to it for sure. What that genetic, you know, predisposition is exactly, I'm unsure. But there's something that predisposes us to type 2 diabetes. Obviously, there are other big influences. So, adopting a Western diet, you know, high in sugar, high in fat, perhaps we're eating things that we're not meant to be eating. And then the other side of it is using or burning up that energy that you're consuming. So if you put all of those things together, I think that's you know, the most of the reasons why we our diabetic rates are so high.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Will. Hey, just another question putting to you. You mentioned the first time you came on our show, you know, only a couple of weeks ago, artificial intelligence. And, you know, like I said, I've been doing a lot of reading and watching clips online about this technology or artificial intelligence to build individual detectors for various eye diseases or abnormalities. What are your thoughts on this, Dr. Will?
Yeah, it's definitely what's coming in the near future, or some of that technology is already available now. So with diabetics, you know, with regards to diabetes, there are computer programs that can grade the diabetic photographs and decide whether somebody needs follow-up or whether they need referring to see an eye surgeon. Some of my colleagues here in New Zealand are looking at developing an eye screening program that could potentially be placed in the GP practice. So, you know, the idea is that someone might go and visit their GP, you know, have their usual checkup for their diabetes, and then on top of that, you could have your diabetic photograph screened and graded there and then, and potentially have all of those diabetic components covered at one appointment.
So who grades those photos?
So currently the photographs are sent to a specialist to grade, And plenty of my colleagues at the hospital spend a lot of time grading these photographs. You can imagine, you know, how many people have diabetes in Auckland and in New Zealand, and that takes a lot of time. Whereas, you know, if those photos could be graded through artificial intelligence, that frees up time for those specialists to, you know, use their time elsewhere, perhaps seeing the patients that really need to be seen.
Dr. Wilf, for some of our listeners out there, can you please explain what artificial intelligence is in relation to diabetic eye diseases, please?
So what happens with your diabetic screening is somebody takes a photo. That photo is then sent to us to look at, and what we do is we look at various things on the photograph. We look at the center of your vision, the macula, see if there's any damage, diabetic damage there. We also look in the periphery of the retina to see if there's any damage there, and we also look for any other secondary conditions that may have gone undetected. So somebody might have cataract or glaucoma or another eye condition that hasn't been picked up before. So we're looking at these photographs and running through all of these checklists to grade the diabetes, make sure there's no other eye conditions there. What the computer does is it uses various algorithms to detect those changes, and with some fancy formulas can basically do the same job. They can also do it faster and potentially even better than a human. So that's definitely the way things are heading, and in the long run that's going to save a lot of time and resource.
Dr. Will, we're just going to go to a quick break and we'll get right back into it.
welcome back. Declan here from the show that follows, Take It From Us. I just had a question for the doctor here.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, regarding my dad, he's had cataracts done in both eyes.
Yep.
Just recently, and he has a lot of issues with sometimes the left eye, sometimes the right eye, and he gets like that heat shimmering start of migraine.
Mm.
Pops a Vercustem tablet under the lip, goes and lies down for 5 minutes, and he comes right again. He's had a full eye check, photos taken of the back of the eye, all that sort of stuff. So we're not too sure whether it's medicine related or whether it could be something more. Apparently the eye pressure's okay, they said too.
Yeah, well, as a retinal doctor, I often referred patients with flashing lights, and there are a few possibilities there. The most worrisome condition that may be linked to flashing lights is either a retinal tear or retinal detachment. So if you can imagine the jelly that fills the back of the eye as we all get older, that collapses down and can tug on the retina and detach that that camera from the inner wall at the back there and potentially cause blindness. So if he hasn't had it checked since he's had the flashing lights, I would most definitely encourage that. Another common cause of flashing lights is migraine. And if you're getting flashing lights in both eyes at the same time, that's usually a good sign that it's a migraine. Also, if the flashing lights are settling down after some medicine and a lie down, that also fits with a migraine. So it's most likely one of those two possibilities.
Is it possible that he could have it just in one eye? Like sometimes I said to him last night, do you get it in both? He said, well, sometimes it's left, sometimes it's right.
Yeah, you can occasionally get migraine in one eye, but that's rare. If it's one eye, it's more likely something localised to the eye. So
okay, so best to
potentially a retinal problem, yeah.
Send him back for a full assessment again.
Yep.
Yep, sounds good. Thank you for that.
No problem.
Hey, awesome, Declan. Thank you for popping in and disturbing my show.
No worries at all.
Okay, thanks, Declan.
Thanks for that.
Cheers.
Dr. Will? Is there anything else you'd like to share with us in regards to what you do? I'm thinking maybe treatment.
Yeah, so the treatment for diabetic eye disease, it's the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff scenario. So obviously it's much better if you can either, you know, control your diabetes to the point where you're not developing any complications that need treating. But there are some treatments that are not too invasive and can save vision. And for a lot of people, they often, well, a fair number of diabetics, they, as I said earlier, they might have the disease and not even know. And I suppose in that situation, you can't really be blamed for having eye complications if you've had this disease and not known about it. So treatment for diabetes or diabetic retinopathy specifically, so there's in the clinic treatment where we can offer laser treatment to stop those blood vessels that I mentioned earlier from growing and damaging the vision. And then there's surgery. And by the time you need retinal surgery, you know, things are becoming pretty severe, and a fair amount of the time the damage is, you know, too much for us to be able to fix, but we obviously do our best.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Will. Hey, I was just looking here at my notes. If you're happy, so there are two types of diabetic retinopathy, is that correct? Background retinopathy and proliferative.
Yep, so it's just a spectrum. So background, another name for background, is mild.
Okay.
And then proliferative is more at the severe end of the spectrum. So if you're having your photographs and it shows mild change, then you're most likely just going to be recalled for another photo in 1 to 2 years. If you've got proliferative disease, you're going to be referred to see an eye surgeon within 2 weeks for urgent treatment.
Okay, so say it's a mild
Yes.
What can one do to help prevent and protect their eyes?
Yeah, that's a crucial question, because it all comes down to these modifiable risk factors that can reduce the rate of diabetic eye disease progressing. So yes. The first thing is your diabetic control. So really important you try and control your blood sugars as best you can. The best way to do that is not on your own, experimenting. It's you know, with your primary carer, and if they're unable to help control your blood sugars, then they'd refer you to see a diabetes specialist. Blood pressure is a big one that can also influence your diabetic retinopathy. So it's not just your blood sugar, you've got to control your blood pressure as well, and there's good evidence to show that if your blood pressure is uncontrolled, it's going to worsen the diabetic eye disease. Other things like cholesterol, smoking, you know, all of that stuff, all of that general health stuff we know about does influence your diabetic eye disease.
Can you recommend what kind of nutrition can we eat to help with our eyes? Is that a good question?
Yeah. I suppose with diabetic eye disease, the main thing is to control your blood sugar. Yeah. So whatever diet is going to help you do that, I suppose, and there are lots of different diets available out there. I think, again, it's important you're in contact with your GP, and if they're unable to give you any specific dietary advice, they could always refer you to see a nutritionist. But in terms of specific foods you can eat to reduce your diabetic eye disease, no, there's nothing specifically, apart from trying to avoid those bad things that we all know about. So, you know, high sugar drinks and foods, and even fatty foods do play with your blood sugar, or the fatty foods do disturb your blood sugar quite a lot. So, again, stuff we're all aware of.
Thank you. Yes, so definitely we need to really switch up and change up our eating habits, as you have mentioned, and also focus on getting out and about, exercising.
Yeah, that's another big one. So with the insulin resistance, you know, that blood sugar's sitting there and your muscles aren't are resistant to that sugar. The more you get out and exercise, the more that blood can get into the muscles, and you're using up that blood sugar. You can, if you control your diet, start exercising, you can improve your insulin resistance. And there are plenty of cases where people have, developed early diabetes and then reversed things simply through diet and exercise. And some people have managed to get off their medications altogether. So that stuff's really important.
So can your eyesight, can you recover your loss of vision as well when you reverse your diabetes or make some serious changes to your diet and lifestyle?
Yep, you can definitely improve your diabetic retinopathy. Certainly in those early mild to moderate stages. If you've got severe complications, even if you improve your diabetic control, sometimes it's you know, too severe to reverse. But certainly with those early stages, we often see improvements. Yep.
Hey, Dr. Will, as a cataract and retinal surgeon, what is your hope or vision in terms of our Pacific people that have diabetes and, diabetes, eyes, diseases? What do you hope to to see?
Well, my ultimate goal would be to see reduced rates of, you know, diabetes within our people. Yeah, how we get there is we've already touched on plenty of points there today. So, you know, education, awareness, screening, taking ownership, all of those things will no doubt help. But it's obviously a huge problem amongst our Māori and Pacific people. And it's a big task ahead, I suppose.
And with people like you, I think our Pacific population and anyone in general that comes across you is very blessed to have the likes of yourself, Dr. Will. Well, we're coming towards the end of our show, and I just want, if there's anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I think just those simple things. So, you know, if you haven't seen your GP for a while, and I suppose even teenagers can develop diabetes, but you know, if you're over 20 and you haven't had a checkup for a while, you know, go and get one, because you could potentially have diabetes or any other medical problem that we could potentially pick up early and save those nasty complications. So, yeah, I think as we've discussed, that making contact with your GP early and getting involved in a screening program, and then educating yourselves on diabetes and the things you can do to help. Don't always believe everything you read on the internet or Facebook. If you're going to read anything online, make sure it has been peer-reviewed or it's from a decent source. And thirdly, I think just take ownership, you know. You know, own the condition, own your diabetes, and do everything you can to, you know, improve that and improve the health of yourself and your family and friends.
Dr. Will, what are the other common eye diseases? Is it glaucoma?
Yep.
I think in the next 2-3 weeks we're going to focus on that.
Yeah, there's some other common eye conditions, glaucoma, macular degeneration, but our Māori and Pacific people generally have lower rates of glaucoma and macular degeneration. But another big one I think that we do suffer from is cataract, and I think it would be good to talk about cataract and you know, things we can do there to help, because cataract is a preventable cause of blindness, and with a simple operation you can go from blind to 20/20, you know, in minutes. So I think that would be a good topic to talk about.
I think so. The more we discuss this and have a better understanding of it, I think the better for us all. In saying that, Dr. Will, I really want to thank you so much for coming again. You know, I know you're a really busy man, got a hectic schedule, and you know, I've been hassling you to make sure you come in, so I really thank you for that. Okay.
Thanks, Mel. It's a pleasure.
Rompemos, al otro día volvemos. Oh, yeah. Tú Solo como lo hacemos, baby.
This is the rhythm of the night.
Baby, tonight's like fuego. We bought this kind of dinero.
Oh, yeah.
We party to the extremo, baby.
This is the rhythm of the night.
Toda la noche rompemos. Al otro día volvemos.
Oh, yeah.
Tú sabes cómo lo hacemos, baby.
This is the rhythm of the night.
Baby, tonight's like fuego.
Oh,
we bought this kind of dinero. Extremo, 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 extremo.
Ritmo.
No son ni Reebok ni Sonai.
No.
Sin estilista luzco fly.
Yes.
La Rosalía me dice que luzco guay.
La Rosalía.
No te lo niego porque yo sé lo que hay. Lo que se ve no se pregunta.
Nah.
Yo te espero y tengo claro que es mi culpa.
Es mi culpa, culpa.
Como Canelo en el ring nadie me asusta. Vivo en mi oasis y la paz no me la tumba. Hakuna Matata como Timón y Pumba. Voy pa' leyenda así que dale zumba. Los dejo ciego con la vibra que me alumbra. Haters pa' la tumba, nosotros pa' la rumba.
This is the rhythm, 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 rhythm of the night.
Toda la noche rompemos. Al otro día volvemos.
Oh, yeah.
Tú sabes cómo lo hacemos, baby.
This is the rhythm of the night.
Baby, tonight's like fuego.
Oh,
we bout to spend the dinero.
Oh, yeah.
We party to the extremo, baby.
This is the rhythm of the night.
Toda la noche rompemos.
Oh,
al otro día volvemos.
Oh, yeah.
Tú sabes cómo lo hacemos, baby.
This is the rhythm of the night.
Baby, tonight's like fuego.
Oh,
we bout to spend the dinero.
Oh, yeah.
We party to the extremo, 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 extremo.
Ritmo.
The rebel, styles upon styles upon styles, I got several. Born to be wild cause I live like a dead devil. Live it up, hit him up, that's a scenario. Tupac, I get around like a merry-go. Rooftop, I am on top of the pedestal. Flu shot, I am so sick I need medical. Uta, I learned that shit down in Mexico.
The rhythm's a rebel, new and improved, I'll be on a new level. That's how we do it, we build it like Lego. Feel on a fire, you're dealing with fuego. Can't stop, I am addicted, I never quit.
Won't stop,
don't need to speak to no therapist.
Don't stop,
keeping it moving's the narrative.
Don't stop,
do it like whoop, there it is.
This is the rhythm, 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 rhythm of the night.
Toda la noche rompemos, al otro día volvemos.
Oh, yeah.
Tú sabes cómo lo hacemos.
Extremo, extremo, extremo. Ritmo.
You like that space?